Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvetti and my fabulous co-host, Squirrel Rourke. Hi, Squirrel.
Hi, Jackie. Hello, everyone.
So we want to tell you, if you want to send in any questions, you can email Squirrel. Squirrel, you can give your email address.
Sure. It's Squirrel, S-Q-U-I-R-R-E-L, at WYOM.net. Happy to receive your questions. I mean, I know you have questions.
All right. Well, believe me, if you don't run out of questions, you probably ask questions that everybody's got. So,
that's my goal.
All right. Tonight, welcome to your world of projection, reflection, and manifestation, 2013. And it's been, wow, what a week. And, of course, tomorrow, 12-21-12. So we sit on the brink and yet directly in the flow of the most exciting time ever experienced on this planet. We have a blank palette on which to create a picture, a creation of our choosing. What will you choose? You know, I wrote this, and then I went back and read it and thought, you know, I've written that before. Obviously, I'm back on the palette thing.
I like that. It's so artistic, Jackie.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, that's me, Miss Artistic. The only place I'm artistic is with makeup. And decorating. Your canvas is expanding exponentially. Limitations, none. You've prepared for lifetimes to be part of this amazing time, no time. And this will be the time, no time, when you discover more and more of who you really are. It's all perfect and imperfect timing. You know, we have to start really being careful about how we use the words time.
That's so true. I like that, though. I'm going to be, I will pay attention to myself, so thanks.
Yeah, well, we've used time as limitation for so long that when we step outside of that as a limitation, we're limitless again. With this ongoing discovery, you'll finally believe that you are the creator of your reality and move out of the concept of limitation to limitlessness. You'll also discover your heart connection to all things. And I have to tell you, this week, especially with the team, I'll finish this and say, joining us tonight to welcome and acknowledge our ongoing expansion and responsibility in creating a new world filled with love and excitement. And Squirrel, before I turn it over to you for astrology, I just want to say that what I'm really seeing with the team and feeling is that when they come through, this overwhelming sense of love. And, you know, I knew it was coming with this opening, and I knew it was coming with this opening, but I have to say I'm in that state so much, as long as somebody doesn't piss me off. And that's not during the sessions. I'm talking about outsiders. Squirrel and I were talking about that earlier. We're all a little edgy. So, Squirrel, you're going to share some astrology things with us.
Yeah, I will share some things. And actually, what I want to say is for I've been getting little notes and emails that actually the people in New Zealand and Australia have awakened to 12-21-2012. So it is not the end of the world. It's just the beginning of a new one. So welcome to the new world, everyone. We're going to have it in the morning. So this piece, I think I just sent out to many of you, and it comes from Planet Waves, and it's written by Amanda Painter. And she talks about it's the eve of the Capricorn solstice, and the sun is going to change signs tomorrow at 6:11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And she says we're going to encounter the most hyped moment in the history of astrology and the new age. between Maya fever and end times jokes and one of the most gut-wrenching mass killings in recent memory, it would not surprise me if a lot of us are feeling a little ungrounded, stretched thin, fractured, or just generally apprehensive. So, and I have to agree with that. In this case of the Capricorn solstice, this shift in vital force, in a sense, the Earth's deepest in-breath before beginning to exhale, has been something to set calendars and myths to. The palpable link to natural cycles and turning points may be what really draws so many of us to astrology. That's the part that lets us know we're safe, we're home, and we can depend on this art form to show us the truth, because it links us to Earth's in-breath and out-breath. And I thought was quite beautiful. I think what she talked about was that we kind of are holding our breath all through 2012 in anticipation of what is tomorrow, the date. But again, that sets things in a timeline, and so that's a limitation, like you just said, Jackie. But anyway, what Eric Francis, who runs Planet Wave, said, in truth, the Mayan calendar is the product of the most advanced ancient civilization known to have lived in the Americas. And this indeed does seem to be a turning point in consciousness. It's not spontaneous enlightenment, but rather seems to be a fulcrum point of awakening. Perhaps we could think of it as a chance to learn how to breathe more deeply or to remember how. And he also is emphasizing that the theme of the solstice and the turnover of the Mayan calendar is about relationships. The asteroid associated with marriage and jealousy comes up as one of the most prominent symbols in the chart, conjunct the sun on the solstice point. It's in a powerful exact square aspect to Atlantis, which is the asteroid about fear of the end. That shows up on the Aries point where, quote unquote, the personal is political. So no wonder we're collectively holding our breath a little in our psychic bodies. We have had some sense of this astrology. And then he just goes on to say, have you ever considered that there's a connection between jealous and controlling emotions and the feeling that the world is crashing down? Have you ever considered that in order to save the world from its privatized, competitive, possessive, and generally freaked out state, we have to love one another with a greater sense of freedom?
There we go.
Eric Francis. There you go.
Beautiful.
There's your love piece, Jackie.
Thank you. And I love Eric Francis. He's brilliant. Okay. I want to share a piece that came from my darling friend, Lane. And this is from a group that gathered in the Mayan forest in the Yucatan. And brilliant people from kind of all walks of life. I kind of hate to read when I get on here, but this is so good that it really kind of says a whole lot about where we are. And then we're going to get into some controversial stuff that, you know, may not excite everybody. I told Squirrel when I wrote it, I was like, oh, no. Okay, last week, a small group gathered in the Mayan forest in the Yucatan to explore what the ending of the 5,125-year long count on December 21 might mean to us. We came from the diverse context: education, medicine, governance, science, conservation, spirituality, and business. We were connected by our commitment to contribute to the evolution of our own consciousness and the transformation of key institutions that shape our society. We came knowing that December 21 and 22, 2012, represent not only the end of one cycle, but the beginning of a new one, a chance for humans to start again, as one of us expressed it while in the Yucatan. There's a Mayan myth retold on many monuments in sacred Mayan sites about day one of the just-ending long count cycle. 9 wisdom holders gathered, had a cup of chocolate and a conversation, and reflected on how to reestablish harmony after such a long period of chaos. In this conversation, they identified seeds they wanted to plant for the new cycle. We are sending this message to a small group of friends around the world, each of who is connected to networks of collaboration in their work. We're inviting each of you to consider the sacredness of this moment. On December 21st, starting at the International Dateline in the Central Pacific, people around the world will hold for 72 hours a space of love, respect, and appreciation, each in their own way. People will reflect on this new cycle through prayer and silent contemplation and meditation, in dialogue, sitting, and walking in nature through ceremony and ritual. During our time together in the Yucatan, we pose several questions upon which to reflect. We'd like to share a few of them with you to also reflect on in the coming days. What am I committed to transforming in myself? What seeds do I and we want to plant and cultivate for the well-being of people and all life on Earth? What is the story that will be told in 100 years? About what was transformed in this new beginning. We offer a second invitation to see the sacred places all around us as hubs of amplification for the collective practice of holding planetary well-being. The invitation is to go to a place that is sacred for you and to visualize planet Earth and all living beings as an integrated living entity. This is no political agenda for a new world order. Rather, this practice builds on what many other cultures have known for a very long time and brings it into this moment to connect and integrate with a field of higher vibration that is created naturally when enough of us concentrate our intentions, prayers, meditations, chanting, rituals, and visualizations on the well-being of the whole. It is a time to feel fully integrated with oneself, the group that you may be with, and the larger wholes of which we are a part, including the human community and all our fellow travelers on this small microcosm of life in the universe. We invite you to visualize and strengthen our radiating light as the aura of the planet. The potential of this collective practice is to create an internal experience that can free up blockages individually and collectively, and liberate the life force and universal energy within. Take this time to awaken the awareness of our capacity to regain the states of balance, harmony, and integration moment by moment, and the awareness that we have the capacity and the tools to transform the ability to shift from fragmentation to integration, from aggression to kindness, from being absent to being present, from tension to relaxation, from doubt to clarity, and from denial to commitment. On December 21st and 22nd, we will take a pause in our habitual activities for 2 days in support of the conditions for living that we would like to see, feel, and manifest as we start the first day of this new era. Please consider yourself invited, together with others in your personal network, to join in this intention setting in whatever form feels best and most natural for you. Specifically, we invite you all to stop and tune in 4 times a day, both on December 22nd and 21st, at sunrise, at solstice time in Yucatan, 11:11 GMT, at sunset, and in the evening. Peter Senge on behalf of the attendees of the Yucatan gathering. I just thought this was beautiful, and I did want to share it with people. I could feel the energy. It was interesting of all of them being together and their level of commitment for what they were doing. I loved also that every segment was really represented, from political to business to deep spirit, everything, education. I thought it was a wonderful gathering that spoke to me, and thank you, Lane, for sending this. In all the sessions with the team over the last few days, there's been a recurring theme of the way that we will create during our new beginning. And I could get very maudlin here, but I won't, as I say this as a culmination of all the things that the team has talked about finally coming together, all the things that have been shared by Lazarus and Bashar and Bonnie and many others. It's time that we truly understand that our reality is a series of reflections and projections, intentions and beliefs, and that we can choose our reality by aligning with the version of reality we intend to experience every minute of every day. We get to choose the meaning of every experience. This is a big one. And I say this before I go in any further on this. We get to choose the meaning of every experience. We know there are going to be earth changes. We've already seen a lot of them. We will see more in this next couple of years. The challenge will be not to lower our resonance through it. And it's very, Lazarus used to say this, when you feel sorry for people, you can only do it for 20 minutes, anything beyond that, and it goes to the negative ego. There is this interesting thing about less than and better than that we hop into, not intentionally, it's just a function of the way human consciousness works. So if I sound terribly pragmatic here, please understand, this is coming from the highest level that I can, based on what the team is saying to me and others as well. We get to choose the meaning of every experience, and I've sat with this one. There's a lot of freedom in this statement, but how does one choose the meaning of every experience? We can choose to no longer be seduced by the meanings placed on things by the media and others. It's easy to fall into this space as humans, and it is our nature to blame others, someone, anyone, for things that happen. The Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings is a tragic and perfect example. We blamed arms and parents and mental illness and so many things as the press went desperately from thing to thing to determine the why of this experience. And what I saw was a tragic situation that brought people back into balance and joined them together. Every parent felt the pangs of the possibility that it could have been in their child's school or how they would have felt, innocent children shot by an innocent young man. Is it a reflection of the anger that's being raised by all the light that's being beamed onto the planet? You know, I saw what Hurricane Sandy and Sandy Hook, and my son pointed out that they were both Sandy. Elementary, both Sandys, something that brought people together. With Hurricane Sandy, it turned the tide in the election, regardless of what side you preferred. It did change it. With Sandy Hook, what I saw is that with the fiscal cliff, and that, in and of itself, would have a much greater effect on this country and also other countries as a result than people really knew or know. You're not getting all the information because it would be too frightening and could create panic. But I also saw that this brought people together, another opportunity for transformation, for refocusing back into humanity. This is twice in a very short period of time between Hurricane Sandy and Sandy Hook Elementary. The goal for us as humans is to become more humane, more loving, and more caring. Did these incidents, which brought out those emotions in humans, bring us closer to who we really are? Did these children and the people who lost so much in Hurricane Sandy volunteer for us to awaken a little more? By choosing a more positive outcome, does that make me hard-hearted? No. There are going to be more incidents on the planet in which we will have to choose our responses. As Lazarus said, long time ago, many people will suffer. They knew that, and yet they chose to be here anyway. I know that I'm looking from the higher perspective, but what is the alternative? We must appreciate, love, and honor every being on the planet, including the ones that are perpetrating or expressing our collective rage, which is our rage. When we heal our rage, we won't see these things reflected back to us any more than we'll see war. It's a tough one to swallow, but it is true. I personally struggle with this as a parent and a grandparent and a great-grandparent, but really and truly, what's the alternative? Do we add more rage, more anger, more resentment and blame to the collective? No. With a sense of responsibility, we know that it will play out somewhere. So we send all the love, light, gratitude, and support to the families and the beautiful souls that were killed and spread as much love as possible. This is a tough one, and as I said, these are the choices we're going to be making more and more. These are the kinds of choices we will have the opportunity to make in the coming several years. For some of you, these words may feel inflammatory or totally irreverent, but they're not meant to be. There's nothing more powerful than love, even love for the shooter. Even Christ on the cross spoke his famous words, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Can we really do less or feel less? And I think as we are moving into this timing, it is unbelievably critical that we take more responsibility than we ever have. One of the things, certainly, is that we are choosing the parallel reality that we align with based on our personal vibration all the time. All the time. There is no time that we're not choosing it, even when we think we're not. We're choosing it based on our personal vibration. And aligning with that version of Earth, that version of humanity. So our choice to experience everything from a higher perspective automatically aligns us with different outcomes, more positive outcomes on the planet, as a result of whatever happens. It's a big order, everybody, and I know it is. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of you are going to think about this, and I may get some angry emails, and that's all right, too. Although I have narrow shoulders, I can't handle it. Our time of blame, and, you know, again, this is, it's such a function of human consciousness to blame, to look for someone to blame when something happens, including God. I mean, we're still working on healing all the anger at God. But now, more than ever before, we have to step up to the plate. We get to put the interpretation on every single experience and take the highest road possible. By virtue of doing that, our resonance carries more love, which adds love to the collective and also radiates out to all of humanity and to the universe. When beings look in at us, they see our vibration. And, you know, I don't think people often think about this, that beings are reading our vibration. They're not so interested in, you know, if we're wearing makeup or how cute we are. They're much more interested.
Seriously?
Seriously,
darn.
I know. And, you know, I'm the one that puts on makeup for the team every day. But they are reading our energy. And, you know, living in this house with all these beings, and it's been such an interesting experience for me, knowing that every thought I think is heard. There is no thought that I think that isn't absolutely heard by those that are moving through here and those that are popping in and out. And so it's been a very interesting experience for me, and it was almost instantaneous that I was so comfortable with my every thought being read. And I love telepathic communication, so I'm a little twisted, we know this. But what's even funnier is to watch me walk through the house having telepathic communications and laughing when there is not a soul around that you can see.
I can picture you doing that.
I know, it's really a miracle that my children have not had me committed.
I have to say, I just want to say that since this is the thing, I maybe you can shed some light on this, but, and you and I spoke about this, that our crown chakras and our third eyes have been pounding and changing rapidly. Now, of course, my little pea brain thinks it's because of the 2012 calendar. But, you know, I often wonder, after listening to what you just said about Hurricane Sandy and the Sandy Hook, that maybe that the beings are trying to help us raise our vibration so we don't keep slipping back into a more dense, morose feeling that we don't, where we don't want to be. And it seems like, my frequency changes, even though they're headaches and they hurt sometimes, have amped up since these events have happened. It's almost as if they're assisting me, and I'm not sure, I know it's not just me, but that's all I can relate to get out of going deeper and deeper into a darker space and elevating my frequency so I get out of the 20-minute cycle that Lazarus talks about, and I stay out of it.
Okay. And that's really a good point. And yes, ultimately, we are always looking at a singular explanation for everything, and there is no singular explanation. Truly, there is not. Lazarus used to say it, it's not this or that, it's this, that. So years ago, I spontaneously channeled in a, I got done with it, and I was doing a meditation, and I couldn't decide if it was Isis or Mary Magdalene, and I was just so befuddled because whoever it was taking them under the paw of the Sphinx and making promises, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh God, no, don't be doing that. I got to live with these people, and thank God everything worked out. So I talked to a good friend of mine who channels, and it was such an interesting comment because he said, well, have you disallowed for the possibility that it's both? And I was like, bar? That was the first time the whole concept of this, that really came into my own experience. Yes, of course, and we are, remember that Sirius is very much inundating with energy, and the love energy we are going to feel is going to be more and more palpable. I think this is why our crown chakras are really acting up right now and third eyes, because we're just getting pounded energetically. Again, not intended to pound us, but the frequencies have been turned up. So, being the whiny little humans that we are, we can commiserate, which you and I do, squirrel about it, being disoriented and, oh my Lord, the headache that feels like a hangover. But yes, everybody is feeling it. Lots of people, very grounded people, feeling incredibly spacey. And totally understandable. I'm very grateful to be as busy as I am right now with things in the physical world as well as the work I do, so that it's forcing me to stay grounded, which is really great. because there's just too much going on and too many phone calls and too many people with too many questions. But yes, you're right. And the more frequency that comes in, Squirrel, the easier it has been. It's both. It's easier to deal with these things and easier not to stay in the negative side of it.
I totally agree, because what I have found, because, Chris, you know, we're kind of amped up during the holiday season, and it's just the nature of the beast, and that's okay. But I do find that even if I am irritated by whatever it may be, and certainly many things that are obviously out of my control, that it's easier to get back into a space of love, that, you know, it's, you kind of rise out of it more easily. And that's the phenomenon I've been feeling of these shifting energies.
And that's exactly where you're supposed to be. Congratulations. If you can do it, it's so important. So
in between the headaches.
Right, between the headaches. That's,
I think,
really
it's time
funny.
For you to consider,
yes, I know,
being in the team. A little girl.
Yeah, like a little robot.
I am.
I actually love it. All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Oh, yes. Quite an exciting time. Welcome, Squirrel.
Hello. So nice to be with you again.
And it is wonderful for us to be with you and all of you that are listening, whether tonight on your computers or at some time in the future, possibly tomorrow or the weekend. Welcome to an incredible benchmark, a wonderful benchmark that you all came here to walk across. By hook or by crook, you were determined to make it to this point. And congratulations, you've done so. And no, nobody's going to go poof, as the channel said to someone today. No one's going to go poof. You will be here tomorrow, as you got your notices from Australia, New Zealand, Squirrel. You as a collective have said, you know, we want to take it a little slow. Please don't blow us out of the water with this. Now, you're having events, certainly, that are challenging. All right? Challenging to your emotional bodies, to your senses, to your spiritual bodies, to your hearts. Oh. Creating even deeper openings. Blowing your hearts open, whether you realize it or not, many of you. Recognizing more and more how connected everything truly is. And you're going to have more opportunities, certainly, to see that. If you look back over the last couple of years, you've had incident after incident of experiences on your planet that were pretty big, but quickly forgotten by many, as big as they were. Incidents that killed an unbelievable number of different forms of marine life. Not only did it kill them from the oil spill in the Gulf, but poisoning the waters in many ways, You know, for those of you that are still eating seafood and crustaceans, please be careful where they come from. And then with Japan, same thing. The devastation to not only the people that died in that, but the long-term effects on your planet, much bigger than anybody wants to talk about because it's not very popular. Katrina. Again, another one that people really didn't want to talk about, oh, here and there, but an abomination, truly, to a country that should have been able to get in there immediately and save people. You're going to have more incidents, people. The big tsunami in Indonesia. There is no end here. There are going to be changes. Your job, all of you, is to send as much love as you can and gratitude, appreciation for every soul that makes a transition as a result of these experiences, including not just humans, people, but everything, every living thing. You are all connected. There is nothing that is separate. What is created together is forever intertwined. Remember that. Your connection's much greater, we've said this many times, than you fully understand. Stay in your love. It's been very easy politically and every other way to criticize so many things. And you're seeing it on your, you know, people are death threats and suicide threats and all kinds of things. Over political differences. Now, granted, better than a war. Better than a war, but whether you realize it or not, this is the festering of war. Now you want to align. Remember this. This is the great gift that you've got now of being able to align with a version of Earth that is settling political differences, settling religious differences, settling prejudice. And you will and can experience those versions of Earth. And this is why it's so critically important to keep your resonance high. Now the channel's been complaining about being grumpy. Somebody called her about an extraterrestrial that was bothering people and all the terrible things it was doing. And instead of her being her the normal self, she was really quite grumpy with these people. She was highly insulted that they thought that it was some extraterrestrial. And we do appreciate her defending us and loving us so, but she doesn't really need to defend. But she felt the need to do so. Now, you're making choices every moment. Your gut reactions to a lot of things, to that person in traffic that cuts you off, to the cup of Starbucks that you just walked out the door with and dropped, to being late for work. Oh, we could go on and on and on and on with the children and the partners, husbands, wives, etc., bosses. But every moment, choosing the highest outcome, keeping your resonance high. This is going to become a focus for you. If you're willing to do it, you will see the results. Now, forever, we've talked about changing beliefs. And dear Bonnie's been way ahead of the curve with it. Changing beliefs. Intentions. Again, dear Bonnie with her wonderful list of intentions on her website. The whole purpose of all of this is to create a more and more and more elegant reality. Now, there are going to be some of you who say, well, that's selfish. You're going to create it just for yourself. Who's going to lead the way if you don't? The more you experience it, the more you can share how it works. Be the living examples. And you're being infused with all of this beautiful light and love. You're going to find opening more and more and more and more. Allow yourselves to soften your hearts. Notice we didn't say be a bleeding heart for crying out loud. Soften your heart. This young man that killed these children was lost. All right? He wasn't some kind of monster, truly. And you're going to see more of these kinds of incidents, unfortunately. The more light coming in, the more it's going to push the dark to the surface. This is not the downfall of your society. This is not the end times or any of that. It is a shift. And the dark has to go somewhere. Pay attention to everything around you. More importantly, you choose. Don't give up that right to choose. Don't agree with people around you just so that you could be one of the crowd. Ultimately, it hurts you, and ultimately, it hurts the collective vibration. And the more people that take responsibility for that, the faster that vibration, that frequency increases. This is exciting. Your tools now are going to work better than they've ever worked before. Ever. And changes, boom, 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 changing it on a dime. All right, Squirrel, you have a question for us, we know, and then we're going to take questions from you.
Okay, yes. This question is from Johnny. And
yes, dear Johnny, all right.
Okay, right. And he is writing, he would like to know your thoughts on the Merkaba practice in relation to the current ascension process. He says, I practice a Merkaba meditation known as the Golden Heart Merkaba of Creation, as taught by Kevin and Christine Kaur. It involves activating the light body on each level up to the crown chakra, and I used it extensively for a few years, and it used to take me to an amazing place. It felt very right. A couple of weeks ago, I did it for the first time in a few months, and it went really wrong. It attuned me to a feeling of doom and intense sadness, and then attracted all kinds of not-so-light energy I didn't really want around me, and some other not-so-good experiences. I actually still feel off from it. There are many stories of the Merkaba practices being dangerous. I know it is very powerful. I was wary of it before, also because of just not knowing enough about it and what it really does. And after this experience, I'm not sure if I will ever do it again, even though I saw it as a part of my future and a great thing for this current process. Would you comment on any of this? And if you could tell me what went wrong, that would be even better. Thanks,
All
Johnny.
Right. Now, Johnny, you've got a session scheduled, so some of this we're going to leave for the session. What we will say is this, all right? If you're going to do the Merkaba meditation, we would recommend that you do it the Melchizedek, I believe it is Melchizedek now, whatever name he goes by. Now, very clear, it's very clear, he makes it incredibly clear, that if you're going to do it, you get permission from your higher self to see if you are ready to do it. Now, Johnny, things have changed, all right? So as we look at you, you weren't able to bypass a lot of the astral stuff, so you got kind of slammed with some astral stuff. Plus, you were doing this while carrying doubts about what you were doing, all right? You were conflicted in thinking that it wasn't safe, that you possibly didn't know what you were doing. So you went into it, and here you go to reality creation. You went into it believing two different things. One, oh, geez, I could get in trouble doing this. And two, I really want to do this. So what did you create? Ultimately, okay, what's the heaviest vibration is fear. And that fear connected you to some astral stuff that's now in your field and very uncomfortable. Be clear, this is not extraterrestrial, this is astral. The Merkaba meditation is really quite lovely, can be done. Again, we recommend that you go to the Melchizedek material rather than anything that's come along since then. It is the most basic and also the safest. But you only do it when your higher self says it's time. There's a lot of practice to get you there, and we are often kind of amused by this is people who want to play the concert piano but don't want to do the practice to get there. So we recommend do the practice, all right, when we have the session where we'll get you all cleaned up. Not to worry. Again, this is not to create fear for people who are listening to this program. But if you're going to do something, we recommend, first of all, that you do have a relationship, all of you, with your higher self. An ongoing relationship. Am I ready to step into this? Can I do this? And then do your forms of protection before you do it, whatever makes you feel secure. If you're not feeling secure, don't do it. That's our highest recommendation. And Johnny, very honestly, if we were going to recommend anything for you, we would recommend that you watch these YouTubes on holotropic breathwork. We think that that would serve you much better to lift you to a higher frequency and level of consciousness, which is where you really want to go. When you step outside of the limitations, you're going to soar. All right. Blessings to you, dear one. All right, Squirrel, you had some questions.
Well, this may be the question everybody wants you to answer, and I shouldn't make this assumption.
This is the big question. All right.
This is the big question. I mean, tomorrow, 12/21. Okay, so how did the Mayans get their information about the calendar, and what is your take on the shift
First of all, what difference does it make how the Mayans got their information?
Oh, it does. It may not matter, but I'm just curious.
All right.
Maybe you could humor me.
Okay, we're going to humor you. They
okay.
were in touch, all right, very much in mm-hmm. touch with a race of extraterrestrials that we will not name at this point for a number of reasons. Actually, several. Hold on, hold on, hold on.
Okay.
All right, the first question was, where did they get their information? What was the second question?
Oh, just your take on the shift that everybody's been talking about and how you see it playing out in the universe.
Oh, well. We talked about this last week, and the channel sent out a link for a wonderful video.
Mm-hmm.
That we highly recommend that all of you watch, that we think is pretty self-explanatory. We think it gives you as much information as you really need, all right? Answers just about every question that you could ask. Now, it doesn't tell you what's going to happen from here because you're creating it as you go. So we're going to turn this question back to you, Squirrel. What do you want to create from here?
Good for you. Of course.
No, we're serious.
I know. I know you're serious. And, of course, we were talking about just the shifting of coming from a place of love for everything and feeling that deeply towards even things that we don't see as good, you know, because we stay out of judgment that way. But if you can emanate a frequency of love to everything and everyone, then it raises the vibration. It transmits.
That's right. What else does it do, Squirrel? What else does it do? Because this is not just on Earth, but we want you to think about this. You're going to align with the highest version of every being that you infuse with love.
So it improves relationships then, all kinds of relationships.
Well, again, relationships, yes, if you've cleaned up all your crap. All right. Now, you know, if you're running all kinds of hidden agendas, don't expect miracles overnight. Well, I'm going to infuse this son of a bitch with love and let's see what happens now. No, that won't work.
Really?
No, I know. Right. However, compassionate detachment. This is what we've talked about. Now, it may feel unloving to you, but it's the most loving thing you can do. Allowing every single being to be who they are on their journey, their way. Ooh, see, this gets very, very sticky. And infusing them with love, accepting their uniqueness, their differences. Even a murderer. Even a child molester. You see, this is where it gets real sticky for people.
It is. It is tough. I admit that.
Okay. Now, we don't expect you to have this down perfectly, but start somewhere. We've talked enough about encountering, extraterrestrials and flooding them with love and the possibility that they can change right before your eyes. Boom, boom, boom. Bashar has talked about two people in the same room, a being comes in. One person may see one being, the other person sees them as totally different. Are they different beings? Are they aligning with different versions of that being based on their own frequency?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Stretching your minds. Stretching your minds. Okay? Ultimately, you want to align with the highest version of everything, don't you?
Yes, of course.
All right. Again, infusing them with love. Now, that doesn't mean to hang all over them, for crying out loud. Always to be used in the highest way, but you see, it'll become natural, natural for you. Natural. Channel has a friend that's rather grouchy. Okay. Highly opinionated. And it's very interesting because when she walks into a room, animals and children gravitate towards her immediately. Immediately. And so you recognize instantaneously that all of this bravado and this toughness that she puts out is all front. It's all stuff she's picked up along the way. But it's not her true essence.
But wouldn't her grumpiness take her frequency down?
Well, she tries, but she runs such a high frequency. This is the irony here. She runs such a high frequency, okay,
mm-hmm.
that you would think it would take it down. But on the other side, a frequency is so high that even though it's taken down, it's still higher than most.
Wow. Just think what she could create if she got out of the grump mode,
exactly.
huh?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I'm going to hold that space for her.
And there are many people like that. This is what we want you to think about. There are many people like that. You know, just because they're not on some mountaintop humming and toning, they could be a factory worker, they could be anything. No, we're not diminishing that. You don't know what they're doing in the dream time. You don't know how much they're contributing. See, this is where stepping outside of judgment and thinking, oh, well, that's Tony Robbins. He's got to be just magnificent. You know, and this fellow over here is a telephone operator. Well, you know, but you don't know that. Truly, you don't. Very important stuff now.
No,
this is where all of these old concepts are coming, tearing down, for you to look at things in an entirely different way.
I think we're going to have to stop tonight.
All right.
And resume after the solstice and Christmas with you.
All right. Now, we would love to work with all of you, especially tonight. Especially tonight. Come in and sprinkle some lovely high frequency, we'll say fairy dust or something, you know, that gives you a nice visual. We love you all so very, very much. It is a joy and a pleasure. If you call us in, if you choose to do that, we would highly recommend that you say, I'm willing to be loved. I am willing to be loved.
Lovely.
And I send my gratitude everywhere, every when, every direction, and my love. Now, Squirrel, are we here next week?
I sure hope so. I'm
planning
on
being
here.
We don't know what your dates are, but next week is a regular show, right?
Yes, it'll be the 27th.
Okay, good. All right.
Okay.
So we will be here next week, and we can guarantee all of you will as well.
All right. Lovely.
Know that we love you, dear Squirrel. We love you, and we thank all of you, dear Johnny, sweet soul that you are. We look forward to working with you. Until we speak with all of you again on the other side of this imaginary line of ending and beginning? Know that you are loved beyond anything you can imagine. And it's all available to you. Keep your focus on the love. The more you do, the more you'll feel. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
Are we on? Off? We're probably off.
We're still here, just to say goodnight.
Okay, good night, everyone. I love you. Thank you so very, very much. Tomorrow, we're on the other side of 5,000, however many years it's been. Hey, listen, we all fought to get here. Enjoy it.
I certainly will. You too, dear Jackie.
Love you. Love you, squirrel. Love you, everyone. Good night.
Love everyone. Good night.